Another signal from Messenger, Sir Gwilym. Captain Miguel's voice was harsher, and Manthir warned his face to remain calm as he turned from the stern windows to face the flag captain. Lieutenant Commander Grazale had taken his small schooner farther to the east, trying to get into signal range of the Dolaran galleon. That had taken her beyond any distance at which Dancer signalmen could read her own signals. Now, the better part of 2 hours later, she was clearly close enough for that once more. "Yes, Rafe?" he inquired levelly, and Miguel glanced at the sheet of paper in his hand. "Messenger signals. Chase bears east by north, distance from flag 30 miles. Chase identified HMS Talisman. Talisman reports damaged mainmast and 4 Dolaran galleons in pursuit. Range 12 miles, own speed 6 knots. Also reports many additional sail in sight to eastward."
"I see."
Manthir turned back to the windows, listening to the sounds transmitted through the deck overhead as Dancer's crew attacked her repairs with redoubled energy. Not that it was going to make a great deal of difference. 30 miles to Captain Timon Clarksane's Talisman, 12 more to her pursuers, and say 20 to those many additional sail Clarksane had reported. 50 miles, then. The wind had freshened and backed still further to the east. It was blowing a stiff topgallant breeze by now, not enough to significantly hamper Dancer's repairs, but it wasn't going to make them go any quicker either. Rock Point was going to be rather more bothered by it, trying to replace her entire foremast, of course. But what mattered was that Talisman was making at least 6 knots, even with damage, and how much damage, he wondered, aloft. If she could do that much but was still being overtaken, then her pursuers had to be capable of at least, say, 7. At the moment, Dancer could make possibly 3, and Rock Point was even slower than that, which meant the Dolarans were overhauling him, whether they realized it or not, at somewhere around 5 knots. 10 hours, he thought. No more than 5 before their lookouts are able to see us, and it's not even lunchtime yet. The long summer Safeholdian day stretched out before him. There were at least another 14 hours of daylight, and, as if that weren't bad enough, the moon was just past full, and he didn't see a cloud in the sky.
"They're going to overhaul you, Gwilym," he told himself coldly. "It's going to happen. Now, what do you do about it?"
Lewis Gardner, the Earl of Thirsk, looked down at the chart spread on his cabin table while he considered Rockerai's signal. By Thirsk's best estimate, anyone the fleeing Carizian galleon might be signaling to had to be at least 50 or 60 miles ahead. Normally, the chance of overtaking Carizians in this sort of weather wouldn't be very good. On average, Carizian galleons were bigger, able to carry more sail for a given wind condition, and despite any improvements to the Dolaran Navy's sail plans, Carizian sails were still individually larger and more efficient.
"But that assumes they're undamaged, Lewis, and it's pretty obvious the fellow in front of Rizondo isn't undamaged, which means..."
He suppressed the surge of anticipation, but it was hard. And what made it even harder was that the scenario unfolding in his mind's eye seemed so plausible. He and his own galleons had been fortunate to make it into the shelter of Sarum Bay when he realized the weather was making up. There, sheltered by the sharp fishhook shape of Cape Samuel, they'd ridden out the howling storm safe and snug. Even in their sheltered anchorage, 2 of his ships had dragged their anchors, but they'd managed to lay out additional anchors in plenty of time, and no one had ever been in any danger. He'd been relieved by his ability to find shelter, because he'd been confident that, despite the vast improvement in his crew's sail drill, they would have lost ships if they'd been caught at sea. It wouldn't have been anyone's fault either, just the consequences of inexperience, one of those little things landsmen didn't consider when they started blithely talking about throwing fleets around. He'd wondered at the time if any of his opponent's ships had been caught on the open sea, and he'd gotten his answer shortly before dawn. Captain Raisando wasn't the only person pursuing a Carizian galleon this morning. Three more of Thirsk's galleons were the better part of 40 miles to the south, pursuing a second Carizian at that very moment. Whether or not they were going to overtake her was another matter, but they were to windward of her, forcing her to flee farther east, deeper into the gulf, to elude them. Unlike Raisando's quarry, the second Carizian's rigging appeared undamaged, and she was managing to open the range between her and her pursuers, albeit slowly. But even if she managed to shake them off completely, she'd still have to get back past the rest of Thirsk's fleet eventually if she wanted to escape the gulf. More to the point, the Carizians had no more than 20 galleons all told, and if he already knew where two of them were, there couldn't be more than another 18, maximum, over Rockerai's western horizon. And even allowing for the ships off chasing the second Carizian, he had 39. "Alvin," he said, never looking away from the chart.
"Yes, my lord," Commander Kapar replied.
"Have Captain Bykett signal all ships in company. Suspect maximum 18 enemy sail bearing approximately due west, distance 50 miles. Make all possible sail. Prepare for battle."